Well, we're going to complete the sermon that was started last week on parenting. We didn't get too deeply into it because of Young Life and some of the other opportunities we had, and so we'll really begin over again. Pray with me. Lord, thank you. Thank you that your word touches all aspects of life. And I pray that as we look and listen to your word today, you might guide us, and particularly those of us who are parents. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Parenting 1.0. First word I have to parents in this room. Four words. Take a deep breath. Seriously. Just take a deep breath. There is so much pressure on parents today to be perfect, to raise perfect kids. It's really more than you are meant to bear. And even though that pressure is around the country, and I can speak mostly from a U.S. perspective, around the U.S., that pressure is on steroids here in Fairfield County. The pressure to have your kids make it to only the best schools, to be in the top 10%. How in the world is every child going to be in the top 10%? It doesn't work out mathematically. And the pressure to shield them from all kinds of pain and hardship, as if pain and hardship is not a part of life. It's enormous. And then there's all kinds of other self-induced and cultural pressures on parents. You've only got one chance to get it right. And most of those expectations are really ridiculous. But we don't realize it because we're in the soup. So I'm going to give you another chance. Go ahead, right now, if you are a parent, just take a deep breath. Take one of those deep, cleansing, relaxing breaths for a moment. Because the pressure we put on ourselves as parents, I mean, it not only can rob the joy of parenting, we can become so pressured that it actually torpedoes our best attempts to be a parent. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, which, by the way, is the first line of the Apostles' Creed? So if you believe in God and believe that He's the creator, Almighty, then I'm going to assume you believe He's sovereign, right? And that means God's working in your children's lives as well. And see, that's another reason we can take a deep breath. It doesn't absolve us from our responsibility as parents. But it helps us recognize that we're not in this alone, that God Almighty is with us and for us. As parents, you have responsibilities, and we're going to talk about those. But all those responsibilities come under the umbrella of God's sovereignty. Leslie Leland Fields has written a wonderful essay. It was published in Christianity Today in 2010. It was titled, The Myth of the Perfect Parent. And she wrote, "We have made far too much of ourselves and far too little of God, reflecting our sinful bent to see ourselves as more essential and in control than we actually are." She goes on to say, "We believe that we can fix every problem, that we are masters over our fate. And the root of much of our pain in parenting is this, the belief that we should have control over our children when it's hard enough to have control over ourselves." And then she concludes her essays with these words, "Life is full of powerful reminders of this truth. We will parent imperfectly. Our children will make their own choices, and God will mysteriously and wonderfully use it all to advance His kingdom." A woman who wrote the book, "But I Did Everything Right," says this, "It's time to acknowledge that there is only so much influence parents can have. Scripture has taught us this all along. We are not sovereign over our children. Only God is. Children are not tomatoes to stake out or mules to train. They are not numbers to plug into an equation. They are full human being, wondrously and fearfully made. Parenting, like all tasks under the sun, is intended as an endeavor of love, risk, perseverance, and above all, faith. It is faith rather than formula, grace rather than guarantees, steadfastness rather than success that bridges the gap between our own parenting efforts and what, by God's grace, our children grow to become." So parents, take a deep breath. Now, under the sovereignty of God, I do want us to examine some of our responsibilities. Number one, faith foundation is primary. I'm going to start with the Proverbs, which, by the way, is kind of the closest thing we have to a parenting curriculum in the Bible. Proverbs is not so much a how-to as it is the manual for living. What to? Did you know, by the way, that Billy Graham, who in my opinion is, has been one of the most consistent and faithful world, known Christian believers over the last century. He made it a point to read one chapter of Proverbs every day for most of his life. I think his ability to withstand the pressures is likely connected to that faith exercise. Anyway, we're going to start by looking at the opening of Proverbs. And I love the way Eugene Peterson in the Message translation takes these opening verses. He writes, "These are the wise sayings of Solomon, David's son, Israel's king, written down so that you'll know how to live well and right, to understand what life means and where it's going. A manual for living, for learning what's right and just and fair. To teach the inexperienced the ropes and to give our young people a grasp on reality." Can you see what I mean? It is in sense a parenting manual. It's a guide to parents about the topics we need to be addressing with our children as they grow. Some of them are appropriate when they're young, and others grow to be more appropriate as they grow in age. But Proverbs, by the way, isn't only for youngins. Solomon continues, there's something here also for seasoned men and women. Still a thing or two for the experienced to learn. Fresh wisdom to probe and penetrate the rhymes and reasons of wise men and women. Proverbs can be beneficial for all of us, but it's particularly helpful if we want to understand the kinds of things that shape a life. And then he begins. Verse 7. Start with God. The first step in learning is bowing down to God. Only fools thumb their noses at such wisdom and learning. Start with God. Now think about how God impacts the whole of life. If we're to start with God, as Solomon guides us in Proverbs, then consider some of the topics that he mentions. Money. Oh, God has things to say about how we use our money. Friends, how we choose our friends, the people we hang with. Our words and our speech. Marriage, sex, discipline, work, folly. Those are just a few of the topics. And the foundation for all of that is our starting place. What's God's word on these topics? Parents, our role is to prepare our children for life. To be good, wise, useful, and faithful adults in all spheres of life. It's a daunting task. Where do we start? With God. A closer look at the original wording would be that of the NIV translation, which says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." But the meaning is the same. We have to learn to reverence God. And you'll hear this over and over again this morning. As parents, we have to reverence God so that we can model that for our children. Because our words, without our modeling, are useless. Kids can read between the lines. They know when we say things we actually live and when we don't. They have this radar for truth. If we want our children to grow to be good, wise, useful, and faithful adults, we have to offer them that only foundation that will stand the test of time and will stand the trials of life. And that foundation is the Lord God Almighty. And the best way, as we'll see in a moment, is to fill your life as parents with the Lord. And then allow it to come naturally out of your life into their lives. You cannot teach, you cannot impart what you do not know and do not have. The best thing, parents, you can give your children is yourself. And when your life is brimming with the Lord, it will cross over to them. Now, allow me to take a brief excursion for a moment. The ancient people and their lack of mobility had an advantage over many of us in some respects. In the ancient world, parents were surrounded by the grandparents and the aunts and the uncles. You had extended family nearby, and that's good and bad. We know that. But what it did is it relieved the parents of this sense of the sole responsibility is on my shoulders, and it shared it with some of the others, particularly grandparents, aunts, uncles, and the like. If you're a grandparent here, if you're an aunt or an uncle here, listen up, because any words I say to parents apply to you. Because you have an incredible opportunity to influence your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, too. So please, I'll come back to this when I conclude. And for those of us who don't live near grandparents, and I never had that opportunity, once we started having children, we were always separated from family. I guess the best word I can say is, see if you can find a family that's a few steps ahead of you and connect with them. I will forever be thankful to Lloyd and Joanne. When we had our first children, they were, could have been my parents' age, not quite, but, and they just kind of loved us into their family. It wasn't any official thing we did. We didn't sign some kind of contract, you know. They just would invite us over to family things. They would take an interest in our kids when we showed up at church and in the community. And their modeling and their love for us made a difference because we were separated from our family. So maybe have your eyes open. If you're at the point in life where your children are grown, maybe you can look around to families who are earlier in that journey and see if there's a connection that you can share with them, because you can provide a huge blessing for parents who are otherwise displaced from their extended families. Parents and extended family provide the most important conduit for the redeeming love of Jesus and for the raising of good and honorable generations to come. Parents, you are the hope for the coming generations. You are the Lord's instrument to help shape your children. Number two, parenting starts day one and focuses on particular child. It's not necessarily, parenting is not necessarily one size fits all. So parents, start, and what I'm learning is you never end. As my kids move into adulthood, parenting takes a different shape and a different form, but it's still there. And I'm enjoying the fact that I can have adult relationships and talk about those meaningful things of life with my kids. Now, Proverbs has a number of words to parents, specifically to parents, and among them is Proverbs 22:6. It may be one of the best known. The new NIV 2001 translation is, "Start your children on the way they should go, And even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Those of us who grew up with the older, let's say NIV or other translations, may have heard it like this: train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Parents, it is never too early to start parenting your children. And I'm not just talking about changing diapers. I'm talking about training them in life and in faith. And if we're going to train them, if we're growing in the Lord, then the Lord's aspect of things will automatically come into our training. Sometimes we think we have to work at that. And it's good to set aside specific times, maybe bedtime rituals, to read Bible stories, to memorize verses, to sing songs, whatever it is you do at those times. But the whole of the day is yours to love and parent your children. Are you teaching your kids simple songs of faith? Are you teaching your children how to save? How to tithe? How to be generous with others? How to speak appropriately to other people? Now, those topics you can begin early on. One of my kids' grandparents signed our children up for an insurance with Lutheran Brotherhood. And it was their way of helping fund our kids' college. They set up an annuity insurance plan. One of the cool deals we didn't realize is when the kids hit about 5 years old, we got a letter from Lutheran Brotherhood, and they said, you know, we're a faith-based organization, blah, 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 and we have a bunch of things for parents to help you teach your children how to handle money. And one of the things is, you know, you could check a box and say, send me the stuff. We checked the box, they sent us the stuff. And one of the things they sent us was this little piggy bank that had four compartments in it. It was the saving for the future compartment. It was the tithing compartment. It was the living compartment. And I honestly don't remember now what the fourth one was. I think it was like saving, but not for the future, but, you know, for that special thing you want to buy. It's like, we would never have thought of that. But it became a great tool to help our children understand as they began to get an allowance. How do you do that? You know, how do you put things in? What does it mean to give regularly to the church? What does it mean to put things away that you're not going to spend now? What do you mean? You know. But our children over time learned that you don't necessarily get things instantly, and you have to save up if you really want to buy something. And they would watch that one component of their little piggy bank grow, and then they could buy that whatever they wanted. That was a brilliant thing from a faith-based organization that I never would have thought of. But it really helps you train a child because you instill early those kinds of things that'll make sense to them when they hit their 20s and on. And then there are other topics that will come up, folks. Sex, and how do you relate to people, you know, of the opposite sex? More about finances, more about choosing friends. Friends are an incredible wealth of good or not so good. How do you make those choices? Because it can't always be, no, mom and dad says you can't be friends with that person. They have to learn to make those decisions themselves. And please understand that we need to focus on parenting our particular children. Each one will be a little different. You can't just have a cookie cutter approach. Parenting is hard work. Start day one and focus on each child. You have an incredible opportunity to impact their lives. According to many studies in the U.S. culture, 2/3 of people who will profess Jesus Christ in their lifetime will do so before age 18. Who is the most important voice in a person's life up through age 18? It's the parents. Absolutely. You have an incredible opportunity to help raise the next generation. Start off a child on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. I need to take one other excursion here. Proverbs. Short, pithy statements like this. If you've read the book of Proverbs, most of it is just, you know, they're all two lines. It's a two-liner, then another two-liner, then another two-liner, and they're all mixed together. Because life is all mixed together, and we never quite know when a particular teaching moment will show up. But Proverbs are meant to be short, pithy statements that are memorable and instructive. But folks, they are not absolute guaranteed promises. According to Fee and Stewart, who have written, in my opinion, one of the best books on how to study and read the Bible in the English language, they say, a proverb is a brief, memorable maxim people can use to help themselves make responsible choices in life. What proverbs say is that, all things being equal, there are basic attitudes and patterns of behavior that will help a person grow to be responsible adulthood. They consistently show us a right way and often a wrong way. But they're not an absolute promise. They're memorable. They're a guideline. They're a statement of truth. But they're not an absolute promise. Parents, just because you start a child off doesn't 100% mean they will end up on the right path. Children will come to that place where they have their own ability to make decisions, and they will have to choose. But the best foundation is provided by doing this. Just think about how we deal with Proverbs. Look before you leap. Does that mean every time I leap, I'm not going to hurt myself? Well, probably 90% of the time, but I've taken some leaps that I looked at and figured I could do and figured wrong. You know, the pen is mightier than the sword. Well, in some ways it is. But as we're learning in our world right now, the sword or the rocket or the pipe bomb are pretty mighty and pretty scary. Good things come to those who wait. Well, patience is a virtue, but that doesn't guarantee that if I just sit there and wait. You get the point with other things, and it's the same with Proverbs. That's all I'm trying to say. When we're reading the Proverbs, we have to understand it's a general truth, not a foolproof promise. So the Proverbs on the screen are a general truth, but not an automatic guarantee. You can parent, you can do everything right, and your son or daughter can drift. They can fall from faith. They are free agents who have to be responsible for their lives. And it's those times that we learn the power of prayer. And prayer. And more prayer. And a lot more prayer. But generally, the Proverbs speak to truth. And good parenting generally raises good children. And faithful God-honoring parenting leads to faithful God-honoring adults in our children. Point number three. Parenting is constant and consistent endeavor that happens best in everyday life and tasks. And our last stop is Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 8. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These words are known in Jewish tradition as the Shema. They may be the most succinct declaration about God in the Old Testament. They may be one of the best succinct statements about our response to God. And they are the best known words by faithful Jewish people. Because these words are repeated in faithful Jewish homes daily. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And now listen to where Moses takes this. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. And then, what do? Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hand and bind them on your foreheads. To my way of thinking, this is one of the best parenting verses in the Scriptures. Parenting made plain. These commandments I give you today, impress them on your children. How do you do that? Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the roadway, when you lie down, and when you get up. Talk about your faith in the midst of everyday life. That's the wisdom of those verses. First, put it into your heart. Impress it on your heart. That is really what it means. It's to press it into your very being. And then as you're pressing it into your being, simply live it out with your children. Dads, moms, grandparents, adults, drink deeply from the Lord and then offer that to the coming generations. Do life with your kids. Every moment you spend with them, reinforces who you are and what you believe with your children. I don't believe you can overspend time with your children. And faith is best conveyed in the everyday parts of life. Like I said, it's great to have those rituals and those routines when you read your Bible stories, when you do this, when you do that. That is really super. But in the other, 23 and a half hours of the day, take out 8 for sleeping, 15 and a half hours, it's how you live. How will that faith that you have come out? And so you're talking with your kids and it's Saturday night, and you've had a great day. You went pumpkin picking, and you've been out in the fresh air, and your kids are exhausted, and you're a little tired, and you're tucking your child to bed, and it's Mommy or daddy, whoever has that ritual. Oh, do we have to go to church tomorrow? I'm so tired. I don't want to get up in the morning. It doesn't take a lecture to simply say something like, but hon, we like to be in God's family. And so we choose to get up Sunday mornings and worship with Him. It's not a big lecture. It's just a one-sentence answer to a kid who's tired. We've all thought that. Or how about language? How easy language can slip into our families. Now, putting aside those inappropriate four-letter type words, what about the phrase, oh my God, oh my God? How often that slips in. We hear it outside all the time, and it can easily come into our families. What about when you hear your child, oh my God, and a simple comment? Honey, we don't use God's name that way. Again, it's not a big lecture. Just a little comment in the moment of life can run miles down the road to training our children. I remember one time, it was one of those dad days, and it was a great fun day, and we had to stop at the grocery store. So I'm schlepping my kids into the grocery store, and we're all a little bit tired, and shopping with tired youngsters is never fun. You know, and dad's probably whining too. And anyways, we check out, and you know, the woman at the grocery store gives me my change, and I just crumple it up and I shove it in my pocket, and I'm pushing the kids and the groceries to the car, and something's not right. Like, it's kind of like I know the change I got wasn't right, but I really didn't want to look at it. And, you know, so I got to the car, we got everything in the car, and I said, okay, so I pulled it out. And in the back of my mind, I'm probably thinking they shorted me, you know. And the fact is, she gave me probably $5 or something like that too much. But I said, oh, I got too much. Soon as I said those words, I realized I had no choice. You know, if the kids didn't know, if it happened at home, it would have been one thing. But I said, kids, the woman gave me too much money. We got to go back into the store and give back what's not ours. So I put them on another cart. I pushed them all into the store. I went and I gave the $5 back. And she was happy because she may have had to pay for it. Some stores make them pay for shortages. You know, I didn't say anything about that. I didn't sit down and say, now here's the point, kids, we're honest in our money dealings. But by living honestly, you are conveying that truth to your children. And those kind of moments are the best teaching moments. And they're the moments when we walk along the road, when we lie down, when we get up, when those questions, those answers come. Parents, you have one of the most important roles in the world. Nurturing your children to become responsible, good, wise, useful, and faithful adults. And I want to walk with you in that. I recently read a report produced by Fuller Seminary's Youth Institute. And what they did is they read a study, a 35-year longitudinal study by a woman who studied four generations and the passing of faith from one generation to another. And by the way, these were not just Christians. They were people of all faiths. And out of that, she drew some thoughts about how we pass faith on to coming generations. And frankly, it fits all faiths. And Fuller took those and they put them in a format that we as believers can have. And the first thing, the most important thing, is parents' influence is crucial. A lot of times in our world, they want to tell you that you know, you don't have influence on your kids. It's all, you know, television and it's all the internet and it's all at school and it's all the bus rides. Well, they are influential, but the most influential voice in that 35-year study, and it did not change over the 35 years, was the consistent voice of the parents. And a quick aside, the second most influential voice was those of involved grandparents. Even grandparents are more important than the screens in front of the kids. Second thing they learned, bland faith, go to the next one, bland faith doesn't transfer. It's got to be that faith from your heart. If you're just telling your kids, you know, the maxims of faith, but not living it out, that does not transfer well at all. And that's true no matter the religious bent. Why? Because kids can tell the difference between what we really believe and just what we say. Third thing was the power of close relationships. The single greatest factor in whether a parent was successful in imparting their faith to the next, to their kids, that next generation, was how close the relationship was between the parent and the child. If the child felt connected to the parent, and if the child felt loved by the parent, then that was like a supercharged transfer agent. And guess what? While a close relationship with mother does significantly improve the odds, and I'm quoting right now, the father's relationship is more predictive of the adult children. Whew. So dads, we get a bit of a double whammy. Because in many families, we're the breadwinner. And so we leave for a big chunk of the day. It would be nice if it was 8 hours. But yet it's our relationship with the kids. And it's the relationship. It's how connected they feel to dad. That was the big surprise in this study. Dads, know your kids. Number four was love the prodigal. When a kid goes the wrong way, whether it's simply in the area of faith, they may be good, wonderful, great people, just haven't taken your faith, or they may do things wrong. The most important factor there was that you continue to love those children. And in fact, the study goes on to show that in those moments of prodigal, you almost have to love them more at that time. And by God's grace, they may circle back. It's a tough job. It is a great job. It takes sacrifice. It reaps tremendous rewards. There is so much more we could discuss. Good news. November 19th, 9 a.m. to 12 noon, we're going to hold a parenting seminar here. And if you want more information, you can talk to my wife Susan, who's not here, or you can talk to Andrea Brown, who's sitting over there. Let's pray for parents. God, thank you for every parent here. Whether we are the parent of young ones, or middle-aged ones, whether we are the parent of young adults or older adults. I pray for every parent that we can maintain our relationship with our children. And in the midst of that relationship, that You, Jesus, would flow through, strengthening those who are in the faith, calling home those who have stepped out of the faith. Thank You for the gift of our parents and for the gift we are as parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles. Lord, bless the coming generation. May they know Jesus even more fully than we know You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.